16 minutes past the hour. It is the WWGH Radio 7th anniversary special. We have done that. You gotta let me know you're gonna do stuff like that, Glenn. It's the 7th anniversary special. We have been on the air 7 years. On this date, went on the air June the 10th, 2014. 3,640 hours or something like that later. We are still here and chugging on down the track. It got very quiet here just a second ago, but we've got a lot of people in the building tonight. There we go. That's Terry Tackett in the studio. Glenn Coble's here.
Hi.
Sean Craft is... Glenn's nuts tonight.
Yeah.
He got out of the house. Now he's insane.
That's my Jerry Lewis interpreter.
That was a good Jerry Lewis. Hey, lady. And Sean Craft is here tonight, and we've got Angie Evers, and Jeannie Evers are here, and Pastor Craig, and Adam Lipp.
Nate
Redmond's here. We've got a whole gaggle of people who are part of the WWGH Radio family. And as I was saying to Sean and Terry, rains every time we have an anniversary show.
Two things are always this time of year: the Memorial Tournament with rain and the WWGH birth or anniversary celebration.
Yes. Now, is it a birthday or an anniversary, Glenn?
I would call it an anniversary because a birthday, it was a birth, but nobody had
it was
any,
shaky, Glenn.
Nobody had any severe pain, so
oh,
it doesn't
speak
count.
For yourself.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, I was here. I was here 7 years ago. When that all was coming down the pike. A matter of fact, the first show on this station, I believe we interviewed Dick Kiefer, who at that time was closing his men's store in town.
Well, I heard you say that this morning, so I knew that was...
You knew that answer?
Yeah.
Well, you're not getting any Zumbezi Bay passes or anything. We have enough water today.
That's right.
Over the bridge.
Yeah.
Well, in the 7 year history, Terry, you came in about 6 months in. Well, not even that, maybe 3 months,
3 months in. Yeah.
3 months in. So you've been here for most of the 7 years.
Uh-huh.
Talk about your initial impression back in 2014, the summer of 2014.
When I first came in, I was overwhelmed, of course. Radio, I had no idea, you know, really what, as far as, I mean, I knew the concept of radio, but I had no idea, you know, really what I was doing or anything, and I still don't.
Well, for 7 years, we'll really teach you.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. But then I seen how the operation was ran, and I immediately fell in love with it. And I said, this is what I want to do.
I remember you.
And I have a great time doing it.
Well, I remember you telling me early on, because in the beginning we were doing a lot of JFK conspiracy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we had St. John.
The scariest interview you did was that guy. I can't think of his name.
Bill Walter.
Yeah. That guy was scary, man.
Yeah, Bill Walter was a, he worked for the FBI in New Orleans during the JFK killing, assassination.
Oh, yeah.
And he had taken a teletype off the machine in New Orleans, and it was an interesting story.
That whole story scared me.
I don't know where Bill is now. Dead, probably.
We still haven't gotten past the conspiracy theory stuff on the JFK show.
I never will. Yeah. Never will. But you know why that's a conspiracy? Because the killer was killed 2 days later.
And they found a bullet that nobody could account for. That's another problem.
Well, you never know in a crowd like that, though. Yeah, but, you know, I also, over the course of the station here, interviewed... Now, see, this is how weird life is. Not only on conspiracies, but I ended up interviewing Clint Hill, which is the Secret Service man you see in that famous picture jumping up on the back of the car as he's shot to cover Jackie Kennedy.
Who was ashamed that he didn't take the bullet instead.
Oh,
right?
He was very... he was in depression for years and years about that.
I heard
Clint Clint Hill has been on here, but so has Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was shot. So it's great to hear these firsthand accounts of what, and you're not going to get any closer than those two guys to those two murders of the people who are left.
Yikes.
So very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So Glenn, now you came on board after a political run.
Yes.
Yes.
I was running for state representative and got my derriere smashed. and therefore, I
said, why not come here?
Yeah, I needed a place to talk.
Yeah, yeah. You were...
so I came and talked to Father Pierce.
That's right, that's right.
And I got it all taken care of.
And you started, I was saying, because you said 2.5 years. I believe you started in the fall, well, it would have been after the election. So like November of 2018,
right.
I think is when it must have been.
Right. Yeah, it was great fun. I've been in radio since I was 16. I'm 75 as of a couple weeks ago. And so, yeah, I have a little bit of time on you, though, on all these guys, all of you. The only person I didn't have time on was my buddy who's past us now.
Well, we're going to talk. We've got a whole section because we've got a lot of people who were very important to this station over a long period of time that we'll get to. That, you know, that life does what it does.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, we were glad that they were all here and glad for the service that they provided.
Yes.
And we have their voices on to this day.
They helped make the station what it is.
Well, they certainly did. So, now, Terry, because we have to go best and worst here. What's been your favorite moment? Because you've been here almost all seven.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, I would probably say that Mr. McFeely visits were probably some of my favorites. So I really, really
the popcorn
liked
parade.
Yeah, that was really good.
A lot of fun.
We've seen some chairs break. And I've seen some.
Talking about you, Sean. Talking about you. That's true.
Was it over somebody's head or was it?
No.
Okay.
No. Just, I mean, just crazy stuff that you could imagine, man. I mean, we've seen definitely some highs and some lows, man. That's for sure.
We're doing this anniversary special actually on an Indy car
raceway.
Yes,
I noticed that. Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah,
that's what we're doing tonight.
I needed a new muffler.
Mario Andretti will be by in a second.
Mario Andretti. So Glenn, I'm going to let Terry think of his actual worst moment.
Yeah.
Because there are good and bad
days. I know, I'm just teasing.
So what's your best day, Glenn?
I think today.
Oh, today. Okay.
I mean, I didn't believe you, Scott.
Well, that's your first wrong move right there, to believe me.
Quite frankly, I don't believe you about half the time, but...
Which half?
When you said to me that I said, well, I really haven't planned anything, and I really do plan for my show, but today I really hadn't, and you said, well, just do... Family Feud thing. So I looked up a bunch of Family Feud questions. I only got 4 done because I had at least 30 callers. And they just kept calling and calling. And they were all so wonderful. They were just sweet as all get out. I had a lot of ladies calling me. I could tell that they cared about me. That was kind of fun. they thought I was lost. Nowhere to go.
Did they care about you, Glenn?
No, they didn't really.
No.
No. I have a wife that can prove that. She will tell you that no woman cares about me.
They thought they were going to win a prize.
Yeah,
they
thought
Glenn was
coming down.
I did give him a prize.
One of the things that made me mad, I guess, was when we did the interview with Dick Gregory at Kent State. And his security guard.
Yeah, now this is a good story because that's a fond memory for me. Terry
and
I.
That was one of my unhappy moments.
Well, here's what happened. I mean, maybe we should get this on record because I'm still not sure what happened.
Yeah.
Terry and I drove to Kent State. It was the
anniversary of the Kent State shootings.
Yeah, anniversary of the Kent State shootings. Would have been,
35th
anniversary of it. What was the anniversary we just passed?
I don't recall.
40th. So maybe something it was 35th.
Like that, yeah.
It was a seminal anniversary, and Dick Gregory had done an album after the Kent State shootings called Dick Gregory at Kent State that was a very popular album. So they invited Dick back to speak at this event, and Dick had been on the station many, many times. So I said, hey, you know, can I come? First of all, it's going to be a good event to cover for Ohio. A lot of the survivors are going to be there and people like that, but I also get Dick Gregory. So I go up there, and Dick is mobbed. Because we're on the, they actually set this whole thing up out on the place where the shootings happened, out on the field.
They had like a little platform.
A little platform.
Yeah.
So in any event, there was a bodyguard, a big, big hulking guy who just, you couldn't get by to get to Dick Gregory. So Terry went and asked this guy, the bodyguard, if we could do an interview with Dick Gregory. And he told
now
you.
How are you putting harm's way now?
Now, what did he say to you?
He said, like, you could have him for a few minutes, but then we got to go. Okay. Well, a few minutes turned into...
Well, here's what happened. I sat down next to Dick Gregory while he was signing autographs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, oh, Scott, you know, because we had done the interviews before. Yeah. So I sat down next to him, and he takes about 15 minutes just to say hello.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the interview, and I can see this bodyguard leaning on Terry, like, what are you doing? Why is this interview?
He's trying to hurry us along, you know, saying, you know, and I said, you know,
so you about got killed.
By this guy, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That interview's in the archive somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a good day for me.
He was an ugly looking guy, man.
Not a good day for you.
Oh, no.
Okay, Glenn, what's your worst day?
You know, I have yet to have a bad day here.
I'm being
very serious because it's allowed me to work for nothing, which I absolutely love to do. But it's allowed me to continue my political career because my show is called Progressive Life. And also on your show, or our show, I guess, on the air, it allows me to continue to tell people the way I honestly feel. And so I really haven't had a bad day. I guess probably the worst, I did slip and I didn't fall down those stairs going into the, but I got real close to falling down. That was probably the worst thing that's happened to me.
No, but you slipped a couple weeks ago on the air.
Oh,
and
yes.
Said a word.
I have never said. Never said that word on the air. Being a minister's kid, you learn to not say those words out loud. You know, you say them internally, but you don't say, yeah, I let that one fly.
And, you know, what do you attribute that to?
I don't like the guy we were talking about.
Right, but, I mean, did you forget that we were on the air?
I guess. That's one of the nice things about radio. Quite often you do forget you're on the air, and that's why it's so much fun. And that's why I think Marion loves this station, because we do talk about everything in town.
Well, that is true, and nothing is off limits, and we're not afraid to criticize things that other people are afraid to criticize.
Like you criticize me all the time.
Well, but that's warranted.
Yeah.
That's warranted. Anybody
can
do that
back.
That's like shooting fish in a barrel. Doesn't take much to do that. So, you know, that was yours, Terry, the Kent State, when you got leaned on.
One that I can think of off the top of my head, but I mean, you know, that has been very many, but that was one of them.
Now, the League of Women Voters, we did, I believe, three of those. And then we did one last year that was completely conducted by this station that most all of the candidates came to, if I remember right.
Yeah,
that was during the pandemic. You know, one of the big things of this is a current thing, but this station never took a day off during the pandemic. We were on, we had the health commissioner on, the mayor. The mayor came here to be on once a week. Every week during the pandemic, the early stages, and to have those interviews taped and to go back and listen to what people were talking about when nobody knew anything, It's very interesting.
In 2024, people will be going back to things like that and saying, hey, look, they actually had a pandemic back then.
Well, somebody once said, I mean, today I was thinking about it. We've covered three presidents. Obama was president when we came in. Then we had Trump, and now we have Biden. We have been through two presidential elections. We've been through seven election nights. I don't know that there's many people left in city government or county government who are still there we started.
And we covered the convention.
Covered the Republican convention. Yeah. We've broadcast from
the
Pittsburgh, yeah, Cleveland, Manhattan, all kinds of Toledo, Tony Pacos. We've been around quite a few places.
Nashville.
That trip to me was not all that great.
No. Okay, that must be one of your bad moments. Tell us about that.
No, it wasn't a bad moment. I just, honest to goodness, it was
your worst moments.
Yeah.
I don't really have any bad moments, to be honest with you.
Except for when I put you down, right?
Well, no, I just overlooked that.
I just consider
the source and keep on going.
And turn my mic off.
No, I'm trying to think what has been bad. You know, I would have to go back and think. There are people I didn't like.
I know it was a bad time for us.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
When our antenna started going crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's not a pleasant time.
Right.
Yeah, that happened. We had a transmitter issue about 4 years ago. That was no fun.
Right.
But it happens. Yeah.
Those are all technical things that you can't do anything about.
But I cannot remember. That's a good thing. In 7 years and 3,600 hours.
I know some guests that we've had.
Bad guests?
Yeah.
Oh, give me a name.
No, come on.
We like to gossip. Go ahead. Just shoot me a name.
The lady from Marysville, the attorney.
The lady from Marysville.
Oh, yes. She ran for office in 18.
You remember this?
Oh, shoot.
What was her name?
She was rough.
Yeah. I do remember.
Why was it bad? I don't remember.
She just rough. Yeah.
Yeah. Rough as a cob.
Yeah, you had to literally pry answers out of her, man.
Well, I don't remember that. I don't know. Maybe I blocked it out of my mind for some reason.
Who she ran against?
She wasn't running against Jordan.
No, she was running against. I can see the lady's face, but I can't remember her name. She was kind of tough. Anyway.
Well,
she was one of the few guests that I remember.
Well, just speaking of politics here, which we do cover a lot of that, I don't know. Hey, Linda.
Hey.
Linda's here.
Dorothy Polanda.
Dorothy Polanda.
Was it Dorothy?
Was it?
Okay.
Yeah, she was a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. No, but I remember why it got bad with Dorothy Polanda. Dorothy Polanda was a Republican at that time who did not... It was right after the... incident that President Trump had with the Access Hollywood video.
Oh, okay.
And she
Billy Bush,
that whole thing, and we're going to leave that where it is.
Yeah,
but
right.
That had just happened, and she had already been booked. So she came in, and I was asking her questions about that,
man,
and
she didn't like that. Oh, man, she didn't like
it. And she, at one point, said to me, I remember during that live, I had to go back and listen to this. I remember at one point she said to me, I said something like, do you support candidate Trump at that time?
Yeah.
And she said, she gave an answer. I don't remember if it was yes. I think it was yes. But she said yes, and that's all I have to say about that.
Huh.
And I said, well, no, that's not all you have to say about that, because this is my show. And then we were up to the ladder.
Now, the position she had is the one that I ran for after she... turned it
That's
over.
What I thought.
She turned it over to Tracy, and
Richardson, or
yes, Tracy Richardson, and Dorothy was a very competent.
What became of her?
She's still in politics.
Oh, good.
She was a very competent politician. I couldn't disagree with her more, but she was a very competent politician. I'd say better than the lady that followed her.
Well, I don't know. That was the only issue I had with her. But honestly, I didn't think it was all that bad. When the interview was over, I remember we had a conversation. There was no animosity or anything like that.
She probably had no idea what you were talking about. So she was one of those people that could forget that type of thing. She could... You know, be
talking I think
to
she did.
And kind of just drop it out of her mind.
Well, I think so. I think
and that's
didn't.
Not bad.
No. But I don't know any station, and I will put this up against anybody, that in the last 7 year period has had Jim Jordan, Sherrod Brown, Madeleine Albright, Roger Stone, Jesse Jackson, Al Franken, Phyllis Schlafly. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a different kind of station.
We've had some wonderful guests on, and obviously we have to attribute it to you because you're very good at getting good guests on there, and it's been great fun.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio has been on this station.
Not one of my favorite people, but yes.
But no, I mean, when you think that you can have Joe Arpaio and Jesse Jackson on the same station on the same show,
and it doesn't blow up.
No. And they're fine. Yeah. I mean, we don't have. There's no anim. You can have Roger Stone, and you can have Madeline Albright.
That's because you're so wishy-washy. Nobody knows where you stand.
That's exactly right. Wishy-washy. I will continue to be. That's because of weather like this. Wishy-washy.
Oh man.
All right, Sean. You've been here since the beginning. Lean in on this one. What's your best moment and worst moment?
The worst moment is getting started off the ground. Because we had some phone issues, internet issues, and that was the worst. I spent 3 hours up in the towers.
That would be scary, yeah.
Yeah, and then in the mall, another 3 hours, and 6 hours in one day. So a whole 8 hours I was working on the internet and phone. So yeah, that's probably my worst moment. And my good moment is just seeing all the different people that came through the station here, and... Especially your interviews. I call them all the time and book them for you.
That's right.
Was it Pat...
Pat Carroll.
Carroll, yeah.
Didn't you go to the World Series?
No, Terry went to the World
Series. Terry went to the World Series.
You went to New York.
I went to New York.
Yeah.
Okay. And he almost got beat up.
Yeah, you almost got taken out by somebody in New York.
Yeah, some little
rainbow room.
You got to be careful in New York. I was walking down the street with one of my basketball teams, and they were all falling behind me, and a young lady came up to me and wanted to take me out and show me a good time. You wouldn't believe the roar that happened from my entire basketball team. Come on, Mr. Cobble.
No, this had nothing to do with that. Sean was wearing the wrong shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, he had no collar on.
He had no collar on.
Oh, that's bad.
And this lady was the guard of Rockefeller, of the...
Rainbow Room.
The Rainbow Room. Holy and she God. Just would not let him through.
No.
You have to take a loan out to buy a drink at that place.
Yeah, it was very pricey. I had a martini, the drink of the Rainbow Room. Yeah.
All I know is they came around and
at
said you
$20
can't.
Or something?
It was gasoline. Tasted like gasoline.
All I know is they came around and they said you can't go out on the balcony. And we all said, why? They said, Will Ferrell reserved the whole balcony for some movie premiere that he was...
Well, how would you, if somebody was never had listened to this station and said, okay, I'm going to listen, but what am I going to hear? Because that's what I get a lot. Because first they say, well, what kind of music do you play? Yeah. And I say, well, we don't play music.
Yeah.
So then they say, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, what do we do?
Conversation.
We certainly do.
Conversation around the table about Marion and all the fun things that go on in Marion and all this... silly things that go on, and all the stupid things that go on, Marion. It's just a conversation time.
Yeah, what do you think, Terry? What do you tell people?
I tell people, basically, if you want to hear any conversation under the sun, tune into us. Because one day you might hear a sports conversation, one day you might hear a political conversation, one day you're going to hear an entertainment, it just depends on whatever you like.
And religion.
We have it all. I mean,
well, and we've never said no to anybody. I would have to go really hard pressed to find somebody who I would not let on.
I know one, but I'm going to leave that off the...
No, who is it?
No, I'm not going to say it.
I'm going to say Ted Cruz.
Yeah, there you go, Ted Cruz.
No, Ted Cruz would be more than welcome to come on this show.
You don't want me to say this name.
I don't want me to say the name? Oh, well, he would have nothing to say on this station. Why would we have them on?
Leave it alone, then.
No, but I mean, as far as a guest would go, I don't care what political belief people are. I don't care what their religious background is. I'm interested.
Yeah, sure.
You know, one of the specials that did so well around here, I don't remember if you were here yet, Glenn, or not, but when we did Destination Heaven, and I interviewed the atheist, the rabbi... the evangelical, the person who had a near-death experience, all these people, Catholic priests.
I'd like to have heard that one.
It was very good. It was like 2 hours long. Somebody who had committed suicide, tried to commit suicide, but it didn't take.
Talk to them.
Yeah. So that was a really interesting experience to put that on. People loved that special. Yeah. That got more attention. It was funny because that year it was Christmas and we wanted to do two specials. And I was putting one together where I was doing the singers behind some of our famous Christmas songs. And I got Brenda Lee, who did Rockin' Around the
and
Christmas Tree.
The other one, didn't he? Well, didn't he put a compilation?
No, I did that.
Okay.
But I did Gayla Peavy, who did One Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And I did Dr. Elmo, who did Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And I thought that would be the special people would like, and they did, but it took long to line those interviews up at Christmas time, so I thought, well, I'll throw this other one on real quick, and we got all those people together. People love that, and to this day, I get people compliments about that.
I try to do that on my show, A Progressive Life. I try to explain to people why there are differences in religions and anti-religions and stuff like that. I'm not good at it, but my dad was a minister, and he gave me a pretty good education in it. I think people need to know about other people's religions. I like everybody's religion.
Yeah,
I'm glad we have it.
But you know what was the great thing, one of the greatest religious moments we had here was there was a group, and I can't remember what their name was, but they were in Columbus, and it was priests who became atheists.
Oh, my.
And I thought that was interesting.
It would be.
So this guy came in, but then we also brought a local priest on, and I can't remember his name. He used to be on a show here.
Wasn't Leroy?
No, wasn't him. He's been on, though. It was on. He's went on to his reward.
Yeah.
But we had these two on, and I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. This is not going to be good. And you know what? They did the show. They were both completely civil with each other. It never deteriorated into anything bad. And they left that day and went and got coffee at McDonald's together.
Well, that's very nice.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be.
And that's the way it should be.
Yep.
And that, to me, I thought was one of the most interesting experiences you could have with that. Because I just assumed that it would be very angry. People get angry. But it wasn't at all.
Well, that's the nice thing about this station. We can talk about all sides of a question and not get angry at each other. There are some people, as you know, that I get angry at, but
not people here, though.
No,
and that's why we do these anniversary parties and Christmas parties, is because people really do get along. I've never known that there was any big strife between anybody.
Nope.
No, never has happened. Linda, Nate, come on in here.
Linda, Nate.
Yeah, well, I got to get some. Yeah, just jump
blood.
Back there. Just
some new blood.
Jump back on the couch there.
I got to go one of these times. I mean, I have to leave because my wife is expecting me back before the rain quits, and it just quit.
It just quit. But Nate Redmond will come in here. Nate's on every Wednesday from 4:10 to 5 p.m., Offbeat News and Trivia. And, of course, Linda Sims has been on since day one. Linda Sims came on with Voice of the People, has been here all 7 years of WWGH Radio. So, Nate, here we are, 7 years. You came on in the spring of 2019, I think.
It was.
Right? Yes.
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 The first Wednesday in April was my debut show. Yes. And I've just had a blast.
So over 2 years later, what's your fondest memory?
Fondest memory is sliding that button up for the first time, because I'd been out of radio since 2014 and hadn't had a chance to do any real radio since then. And just the moment when the theme song ended and it was time to slide that button up and go on the air, boy, I'll tell you what, that was that's an adrenaline rush. To me, every time I do it is an adrenaline rush, even still.
Mm-hmm.
But that first time, man, oh man, to say WWGH 107.1 FM, boy, that was a moment. It really was.
Linda, you've been here since day one.
Yes, I have.
Day one. You came to the, I think you're one of the few left who were at the party that we threw to before we turned the station on the air. I'm trying to remember who was at that party, but you're one of the few left who were at that party. And what's the 7 years been like for you?
Exhilarating. I love every moment of it. I really do. And my most special moment is being asked to be a part of this crew. And I really, I was blown away that someone even paid attention to me on the air, you know, before. So So I didn't go to school for this type of thing, nor, you know what I mean? So,
right. Well, it's interesting. I don't know if people know. I don't know if I ever told this. But Linda had done a show with a great friend of both of ours, Sister Earlene Hatch, in Voice of the People.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on another station here in town that I was working for
right.
at that time. And I had come on your show because Sister Hatch had asked me to come on. And I just thought it was a very unique program. So when we started up, I had heard that that show and that station were not really doing that anymore. And we talked. I remember you came, and
right.
it was very little. It was, "Will you do it?" And it was, "Yes, I will." And
yes.
We were on the air. We were on the air and have been for 7 years. And the fun, I think, has been, you've been with us in the popcorn parades with Mr. McFeely and just all the fun that has happened. What guest sticks out in your mind in 7 years?
What guest? That I had or just
that you've had?
As a whole? Oh, my. I don't know. I guess there's several of them, you know. The mayor was one, you know, and trying to think. Mother Hatch coming.
She
back
did
to
come.
Visit.
Yes.
And doing 2 hours that time, didn't she?
She did. She
yeah,
did.
Yeah, that was special, too.
Yeah.
Because we were happy to see her, you know, in her being herself. We were happy to see that, yeah.
She was back to her normal self.
Her normal self.
And that was a great day.
Yes, it was. A very great day.
I like when you brought that group in. Awesome.
The possum? Yeah, that was good. That was good. And like you said, the bake sale I had, and we were all on the air, my daughters and I. There's so many moments over 7 years to even talk about.
Well, I remember the one that really touched a nerve early on was when you had Steve Chafin and John, was it Meyer? John Meyer on?
John Meyer.
You had a big Republican and a big Democrat.
Sure did.
And they went at each other. Talking about people who weren't civil with each other. I remember listening to that show in the car thinking, oh, man.
Yeah, knockdown drag.
They got heated. And it was a good show.
It was a good show.
Also, you've been a big part of our election night coverage since the beginning.
That's true.
You've went to Democratic headquarters. You've been at the Board of Elections the last few years. It's a long night, but it's fun to relay this to the community.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's also nice to be recognized by my voice. It's
yes.
not so much my face, but, oh, I know that voice, aren't you? You know, they'll know my name, you know, but that's neat, too.
Well, you know, Linda had one of the great moments in broadcasting in this internet world we live in. Most everybody has pretty much abandoned election night coverage in Marion because of staffing. But we don't. We come on at 7 o'clock. We come on a half hour before the polls close.
Right.
And we do not leave until all the local elections have been called. And I think it was 2 years ago. Linda's down at the Board of Elections, and at Republican and Democratic headquarters, they're both listening to us, because I think Glenn was at Democratic, and Terry was at Republican, so the radio was on, and I was here in the studio with, I think, Mike Wilson and Sean, and I can't remember who else was there, but anyway, the computers at the Board of Elections went down, so nobody could access the final winners, but you were there.
Yes,
you were
was.
The only one, so you reading it over the phone
sure
was how
did.
These people found out they won their elections.
That's
it was
right. I had the scoop.
You had the scoop.
Yeah.
And there was never a more tense moment than hearing that because
that's
at
true.
Those places they were right next to their radios.
Yeah.
And you didn't know.
No.
You didn't.
Didn't
so
know.
That was a great moment.
It was a great moment.
Now, Nate, your show is primarily trivia, but you've partaken in the Christmas parties and these anniversary parties, and those are a lot of fun.
They are. They are. Everybody getting to come together, even as little as we get to do it, it is a lot of fun. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think it's like a big family. And we've talked before, one-on-one and as a group, about other stations we've been at. You know, it's not often there's a family atmosphere at a radio station.
No. No, they go close the door and don't talk to each other.
Oh, man, yeah. And, you know, just people at each other's throats and jealousy and everything else. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a lot of, you know, the way it was where I was before. And to come here is so refreshing. And even just being here since 2019, I was a listener before, and you could always feel that coming over the radio. I remember sitting listening to one of the Christmas shows when you were at the mall, the singing, the caroling. I just remember sitting there just being in tears because you could just feel everybody was a part of a family, and you grabbed the hold of your listening audience. And just grabbed a hold of them in a way. They really felt the Christmas spirit, but they also felt the family atmosphere, too. And you could just feel so far apart, so part of that. And I was going through a hard time at that moment with just a bunch of different things happening. And it was just so encouraging to hear that broadcast. And I think that's what WWGH does.
You know, it does feel like Christmas when we come in here and we sing those songs together, and Santa Claus shows up. And there have been kids here at those things. It's really a fun night. It's one of the most fun moments for Christmas for me that I have, and it's enjoyable. Now, I want to do something really quick while Glenn's still here. And Terry, where's Terry at? Get him back in here.
We're not going to sing anything.
We're going to sing, Glenn. You're going to sing. No. Get Terry back in here because we need some remembrances here really quick before we wrap up hour number one. Okay, we'll just come over. We'll just stay there, Linda and Nate. Because what I want to do is, in this family atmosphere that we do have here, we have lost some people over the years who were major parts of this station. And we want to start by, because I think you all knew these people, so we're just going to run through the gamut here, and we'll start with the late Marge Hazlett. Terry, you engineered Marge's shows. Marge was with us, I think, from 2015 through 2019. Linda,
oh, yeah.
You were with Marge. She was guested on your show.
Yes.
Tell us about your memories of Marge Hazlett.
Boy, Marge Hazlett. Where do I begin, man? You talk about straightforward. I mean, this lady, she was straightforward. But she was probably the most lovable, caring lady that I know.
Smart woman.
Yeah.
Taught in the Marion
yeah.
City schools. Had worked at a nurse in Tiffin in a senior citizen's home. And then was a professor at OSU for psychology for 50 years, something like that.
Is that where he met her?
That's where he met her, in the ward in Tiffin.
She was my clerk.
She was in charge of it. Yeah, and Marge Hazlett, I should mention, was my college psychology professor. That's where I first met Marge Hazlett. Linda?
I knew her in third grade.
Yeah. Oh, you were third grade.
Third
Tell
grade.
Us about Marge Hazlett.
Mark Street School. She was a stern little lady. She she didn't take much off of the students. I'm talking about grade school, right? And she just walked with a upright posture, and no one really messed with her, but she was a great teacher.
To see her, to connect with her again when she was doing a radio show here, what was that like to see her?
Oh, I was blown away by that. And all I could think about was my childhood memories, you know. And she remembered a lot of those things, too. She wasn't there long, but still. I remember her.
Glenn, you connected with Marge a little bit, didn't you?
Very short. I met her at a couple of the latter parties that she came to, and it was just nice to get to know her because she was kind of a icon in town.
She was.
And I know you don't like to use the word icon, but she was close.
Back with those icons. Nate, did you ever meet Marge?
I didn't, but I heard all of her shows, or a lot of her shows, and, you know, always felt like I knew her, even though I never got the privilege to meet her.
Sean, you did a lot of Marge's shows. Tell us your memories of Marge Hazlett.
Well, I have a lot of them, because I did her show a lot with her and Nan. Probably the most memory one is probably me, you, and Charlie. Me, you, and Charlie, and her. And I had to fix her wig. And because her wig fell off, and she hit her head on the table.
Oh, jeez.
But it was fun. She was cracking up laughing, and she was fine. And she's just funny.
What a happy memory that is to remember about Marge. No, but Marge left us in 2020. She had a long battle with cancer. And I only say that to make this point. Marge had active cancer, I think, for about 10 years. And she showed up Marge came. She loved being here. She loved being around people. She always would say that when she'd come in. You know, she came from chemo treatment straight to the station.
She sure did.
She did, and she came in, and she would make light of her wig. She would make light of the fact that she wanted to be in the mausoleum. She had people from the mausoleum on her show at one point. Marge was a tough lady.
Yes, she was.
But you could call her for anything.
Dependable.
Yeah, you said, Marge, I need somebody else on this panel. I need you to come in election night. And Marge Hazlett would be there. She was a real classy lady.
Yes.
And we miss Marge tremendously.
Yes. Yes,
and another one, certainly in this, in the, I can't remember the time frame of this, but Terry, Paul Savage, the host of Heaven
Paul.
Express on this station, many Sundays with his wife, Glenna Savage. You engineered probably more Heaven Express programs than anybody.
Very good man.
I mean, memories of Paul Savage?
Very good man. Just, he was, you know, he took his show very serious. I mean, you know.
Scripted it out every week.
Yeah, he just, you know, he wanted everything to be perfect for, you know, for his show, you know.
And if
some people liked it, and, you know, some people didn't, but he just.
Well, and I should mention that if you ever want to hear Paul, probably the place he's most heard, singing Charlie Evers' theme song.
Yes.
And he wrote that. That's Paul Savage on that theme. And
he
also did Marge Hazlett's, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Now,
yes,
Linda,
did.
You guessed it on Paul's show a couple times, I think.
Yes, I did.
What are your memories of Paul Savage? He was on your show.
Yes, he was a man of music. You know, and he loved to play his organ, his keyboard. Because when I had him a guest on my show the first time, he brought his keyboard and his organ, and he would talk, and then he would play songs to go with his conversation, you know. He was neat, though. He really was.
Good guy.
Was he the guy that did the Swap Shops song?
Yes, that's the Swap Shop.
The one that Charlie absolutely hated.
Yeah, that's Swap Shop. Go ahead. Nate, do you have any relationship with Paul Savage?
No, just through the radio, and I met him one time, at Wendy's. He was eating at Wendy's, and I went over there, and I recognized him through the website, and through his voice, and he was sitting over there, and I said, hey, are you Paul Savage? And I said, you don't know me, but I'm one of your listeners, and I enjoy Heaven Express. And he was glad. He was just so gracious, you know.
He really, Sean, you remember Paul Savage well.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember. I did a lot of his shows, too. Glenda, and he had a lot of different unique guests on as well. Yeah, he's really a good person to be around.
You know, the best Paul Savage story I have is Paul, which was no secret, and we did shows about this. Paul was ill about the last 6 months, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was about 70 years old, I think, and the diagnosis came back that he had Lou Gehrig's disease, and that it was very advanced, and they gave him a very short time to live.
Yeah.
But Paul wanted to come in and do a final show. He called and let me know he wanted to do one final Heaven Express program.
Right.
And he came, and we all came in.
Yes,
now this is
did.
The family atmosphere on a Sunday night. Linda came in, Marge came in, Charlie came in. Terry came in, Sean came in, I came in, and Paul didn't know that we were all coming in for the final show. We do the show, we all say goodbye to Paul, and we did a special 2-hour broadcast. This was on a Sunday night. Paul was happy as could be. We left. On Tuesday morning, I got a call from Glenna. Paul had died the night before.
Oh my.
He died the next day.
It was that close. Wow. Yeah.
After that last show.
Yeah.
And Paul was... But, you know, Paul, to this day, every time I hear Charlie's theme, I think of Paul Savage.
Right.
Because was the...
That and the Christmas, the chocolate...
So. Oh, yeah, he does. We play a song every Christmas time, Christmas Candy.
Christmas Candy, yeah.
And then, just late last year, we lost somebody who was a frequent caller here.
Yes.
But also loved to come do shows here, Martha Dowse Manasi.
Oh, yeah.
Martha Dowse was on a show here, Marge and Martha, on Tuesday afternoons for a long time. Now, Terry, Martha Dowse, if you met her, you couldn't forget her.
No, definitely not. She was one of those people that she could take over a room. I mean, she just, you know.
And she would.
Her presence,
I mean, you know, she always had so much enthusiasm, you
yes.
know what I mean? And she liked everybody, you know, and just made you feel comfortable, you know, whether she knew you for 20 years or she just met you, you know, I mean.
Linda, Martha Dowse, one and only.
Oh, yeah. My two daughters I sent to her dance school Wow, that was back in the 60s, but still, they were there and a part of it, you know, in the early 70s, ballet, and but they didn't want to do it, but I really looked it up to her and respected her as having her dance studio and just being committed to the community, you know, and her husband had a store on the West End, you know, and they were very respected people. And then we had that event at the park.
Remember Pancakes at the Park.
Yes, we did.
And Martha was there.
Yes, you were.
Teaching line dancing.
Yes.
At 87 years old.
Yeah.
You weren't going to stop Martha. And her daughter did not, because it was early in the morning. It was kind of a cold morning, and Martha's 87 years old. And she said, listen, I don't want Mom to be sitting out there all day in the cold weather. So Martha shows up, and not only does she show up, they get her a lawn chair. She gets up and starts teaching them to do the Cupid Shuffle out there in the parking lot at Garfield Park. There was only one Martha Dow. She was an original.
Yes.
Sean, what are your memories of Martha?
Well, I have so many of her. Probably, she forced me to learn to dance. I had no choice.
Yeah. I believe
right
it.
Right on by the, what was that street? By the Popcorn Festival.
Yeah, it was Center Street.
Late at night, in front of everybody.
Really?
And yelling. Okay.
I was there. She set her lawn chair down, and she told him how to. And when he'd do a misstep, she'd say, "Do it again, do it again, do it again." She was an original. And the thing about Martha, I always remember. Martha called in once she, because during the COVID era, Martha was 89 years old, but she would listen. She, when I would see Martha, she'd say, "Come tune my radio in. I don't want to miss." And she would listen to this station constantly, and
she was at Seton Square. She tuned my grandma's radio in, who lived there, you know, and my grandma was able to.
And she just was a fervent, fervent listener, and she called in 3 weeks before she died. And she just wanted to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and she loved calling in. And one of my favorite moments, I think I can say this, Martha, but Martha was a lifelong Republican, and she loved to tell you she was a lifelong Republican. She called in right before the last election, right? And it was like the day before, and it was Martha, and I was like talking to Martha, and Martha said, "Scott, I've got a confession to make." And I thought, uh-oh, here we go on the, this is on the air. And I said, "Martha, what's your confession?" She said, "I voted for Joe Biden." And it was so funny. She said, "I'm a Republican, Scott. I shouldn't be doing this." But that was Martha Dowse. Couldn't stop her.
The one and only.
The one and only. Well, you know what? We're coming up on a break, but we have certainly another special remembrance to go. But we're going to come back here. Can you stick around, Glenn, for that?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where we're going. We're coming back. We got much more and much more. Adam Lepp here. Pastor Craig's here. We're going to hear from them. And Angie's here. Jeannie's here. We got the whole group. We're coming back in 15 minutes. But Martha, Marge, Paul, we miss you.
Yes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For guests like legendary ABC News correspondent.